each one of you back tonight. Let's stand together, please. Turn in your hymn book to page 264. Page number 264. Kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. List to his voice. Leave with him your care. And begin life anew. Kneel at the cross. Leave every care. Kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross. There is room for all who would his glory share. Bliss there awaits, harm can ne'er befall those who are anchored there. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross, give your idols up. Look unto realms above. Turn not away to life's sparkling cup. Trust only in his love. Kneel at the cross. Leave every care. Kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you.
Good to be in God's house tonight. Amen. And man, what a blessing this morning was. Praise the Lord. We had two young people call on the Lord for salvation this morning. We had two young men come forward for baptism, and then found out we had 152 in the services this morning. And so praise the Lord for that. And then Jalen came in tonight wearing a big sister shirt, and I said, we got to change the count. We had 153. Amen. And so congratulations to Brother Jack and Miss Lizzie, and certainly let's be much in prayer for her and the baby and all of those good things. So what a blessing. Amen. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Sure glad you're here tonight. Brother Gary Waters, would you pray for us tonight? Amen. Won't you be seated tonight? Mercy. I'm telling you, I came into my office yesterday, and Brother Tim and Miss Anna had left a bag of Reese's Peanut Butter Cup eggs at my door, and I ate about six of them last night, and then I preached my guts out today, and my sugar rush is over. And I'm tired. I'm ready for a nap, but I'm looking forward to tonight and getting in the life of Moses. Amen. I do have some announcements tonight. Just wanted to mention some of these things. Of course, we are now into the month of April, and so we do have some things coming up here on the calendar very, very quickly. This coming Friday night, if you have teens in the youth group, make sure that you are aware of this, that there is a teen activity. And then, of course, this coming Saturday, we will be found out that it didn't get in the bulletin because we failed to put it on the calendar scheduled to have that. And so if you can certainly help us out with that, that would be a real blessing. And it's 10:30 in the morning over in the fellowship hall Saturday morning, and we'll head out, do some door knocking and some canvassing and those kind of things. Ladies, if you signed up to go to the ladies retreat, that is April the 16th and 17th. At Riverside Baptist Church in St. Joseph, Missouri. And again, today is the final day to turn in your money for that. And so please make sure that you do that. if you signed up. And then also some other things that are coming up. Wanted to mention this for our Christian school. Our graduation and awards banquet is scheduled at the end of this month, April the 29th, which is on a Thursday night. And I believe that'll be at 7 o'clock. And then that Friday, April the 30th, is the Learning to Read class, the last day of school. Now, if you'll notice, I skipped over our missions conference because I wanted to cover some things tonight. But our missions conference this month is scheduled for April the 21st through the 25th, which is a Wednesday through a Sunday. I think most everybody here basically knows the schedule, but Wednesday night will start. And that'll be at 7 o'clock. And, of course, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night, 7 o'clock each night. And then we will be having some things on Saturday. There'll be a men's prayer breakfast on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock over at the Golden Corral on Black Bob Road. And then also there'll be a ladies' tea that Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. Over in our fellowship hall. And so I did want to mention this tonight. If any of our ladies would like to go to that, you do need to sign up. There's a sheet outside in the outer foyer that you can sign up. I think the cost is like $12, I believe it is. And yes, it's $12, and it's for ladies 10 years or older. And so do want to encourage our ladies to make sure that you sign up for that. That way we have a count, and we can make sure that we'll have enough food prepared and things like that. And I also wanted to mention this tonight. Praise the Lord, we met our goal for last year on Faith Promise Missions, and just a real blessing. Even in the middle of a pandemic, that says a lot about our people, amen. And understanding our biblical obligation to continue with tithes and offerings and Faith Promise Missions. And so praise the Lord for that. But we are going to go ahead, and tonight I'm going to start announcing this. We do have our Faith Promise cards. They are available. They're on the back table here in the sanctuary, and we'll make sure to keep those out. Now, what the deal is this, is that we're going to leave those out all month, and you pray about what the Lord would have you to give and those kind of things, and then you just fill it out. There's a little perforation there. You just tear that off, and you drop in your promise in the offering plate. Keep the other one with you. Write the amount on there, and just make sure that you put that in the offering plate. That way we can get a count. But the idea is this, is that we want to continue. We want to take these up throughout the month of April. April the 25th will close out our missions conference, but it'll also close out the month of April. And so what I'd like to do is for us to take these up until April the 25th, and then May the 2nd, which is the first Sunday in May, after the missions conference, we can tally these things up and see where we're at and get our goal situated, all right, for the year. Okay, and so that's what we're going to do. So wanted to mention that, if we could do that and announce those things tonight. That way we know what's coming ahead. But I think about this morning, and last year we were, preaching an Easter service to empty pews. We were not able to have a missions conference, and so really excited this year. For me, I've always said it like this: it's the most important business meeting for the church for the year, because this is where we deal with spiritual things. This is where we determine what we're going to do with the gospel throughout the year and helping families go. We're going to have two families with us. The Landy family going to Sri Lanka, and then also the Kitchen family going to Germany. I'd love to see us get behind these families. They're doctrinally sound, good families. And sent out a Southwest Baptist Church there in Oklahoma City. We have some other families coming throughout the year. We have another, we have the Blakely family going to, is it Blake? No, it's Corley family. I'm sorry. His younger brother is Blake, and I got it all mixed up. Listen, I need a nap. Leave me alone. I need a Reese's peanut butter cup egg, and that would probably help me. We have the Corley family going to Nepal, and then we have the Riley Barrett family going to England, two other solid families. And so I'm just saying to you, we need to be much in prayer about our missions conference, what we're going to be doing, and all of those things, because I'd love to see us get behind these families and support them, not just prayerfully, but financially. Amen. Okay, Brother Eric, come on ahead tonight.
Let's continue our singing tonight from page 198. He abides, he abides. We'll sing all four verses tonight. Page number 198. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason for my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. He abides, he abides, hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. He abides, he abides, hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. He is with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. He abides, he abides, hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. There's no thirsting for the things of the world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. He abides, he abides, hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Aren't you thankful for that comfort tonight, that we have the Holy Spirit abiding with us? Amen. And ask Brother Luke Stewart if you would pray for the offering tonight, please. Amen. Thankful for our pianists, amen, and our instrumentalists. I mean, they do a great job. So thankful for them. Page number 298. Let's all stand together one last time tonight. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Page number 298. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. Sing it out now. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. be seated tonight. This time we'll have a special from Brother Tim and Miss Anna Quinlan.
Have a strong and perfect plea. The great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me
righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace.
One with himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior. My Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my
God is sure very good to us, isn't he? What a blessing. Well, glad you're here tonight, and I trust the message tonight be a help to you. I find this just very encouraging tonight, but again, at the same time, somewhat challenging. I believe a lot of folks struggle with things, and the reason is because we sometimes don't have a right view of God. And so I want to invite you tonight to take your Bibles and turn with me to the second book of Moses called Exodus tonight and chapter number 20. And let's all stand in honor of God's Word if you're able to stand tonight. Exodus in chapter number 20. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 18. Of course, we ended last week in verse number 17. We know that chapter 20 is oftentimes characterized by the Ten Commandments, and that's what we looked at last week. But I want to pick up there in verse number 18 of Exodus chapter number 20. And the Bible says this, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us,
lest we die. Now, I just want to stop there and say to you, as a child of God, and I understand the things that went on in verse number 18, but I'm just saying to you, I want to hear God speak. And so notice what happens in verse number 20. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not." And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye have not made, ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. And an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen, and all thy places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me, and if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered. I'm just telling you, if you're going to worship God, you're going to do it His way. No doubt about it. Now, here's what I want us to grab a hold of tonight. Because when you go back to chapter number 19, what you find is this, is that God comes down on Mount Sinai to meet with the people of God. But now you understand tonight that He would come down in fire, in smoke, in thunderings, lightnings, all of these things. The voice of God would sound with trumpets, all of these things would signify, if you will, the power and the glory and the holiness of God Almighty. As the Hebrew writer would put it in the New Testament, God is a consuming fire. I think that would be an appropriate description. But then last week, we saw in the previous verses the 10 commandments, and we liken them to, if I could say it like this, wedding vows. I mean, you understand, this is the idea that God is presenting Himself to the nation of Israel, and God is now saying to Israel, I want you to enter into this covenant relationship with me. If we could say it like this, a marital covenant. See, they are to become His nation, a peculiar treasure unto Himself, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And so the idea here is this, is that if they're going to represent this God of heaven and earth who is holy, then they must keep these vows, these commandments. But what I want us to see tonight, and really from our text and primarily from verses 18 and 19, is Israel's response and God talking to them. This is, you understand, this is not a right view of God. Though God gave them boundaries, and though God is a consuming fire, we understand all of those things tonight. God never said this, I'm going to kill you just by talking to you. God's people should want to hear the voice of God speaking with us, not just through Moses, the man of God. And so here's what I titled the message tonight, Having a Right View of God. Well, I'm telling you, I believe tonight it'll be a help to us. I want to say to you tonight this, you know what? Yeah, there ought to be a reverence for God. There ought to be a reverence for the things of God. But at the same time, folks, praise God, we can draw nigh unto God. Because God tonight is a consuming fire, but you know what else? God is love. And praise God for that tonight. Father, thank You for the Word of God. And Lord, just thankful tonight for the example of Israel. Just want to ask for grace tonight, Lord. I need Your strength tonight, physically, spiritually tonight. Want You to lead and guide in the message tonight. Want it to be a help to Your people. I know that there have been times in my life, Lord, where, Lord, I didn't have a right view of You. And because of that, Lord, it certainly caused me to
struggle spiritually. And I believe this is a lot of the cause of a lot of things today. People battle discouragement and they battle things, Lord, not understanding, Lord, and trusting that You're the God of Your Word. And so would You help us tonight? Would You take this passage and just, Lord, encourage us tonight, work in us tonight, help us tonight. And God, may we be a people tonight, Lord, that would not just reverence You for who You are as our great God, but Lord God, we would draw nigh to You and we would seek Your face because You are our God. And Lord, thank You tonight. Just want to ask that You would bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but I just want to ask you the question tonight. Have you ever developed a false perception of someone based upon what you heard from others? I know that I'd done this when I met Natalie's dad. Natalie and I met through a friend of hers, and so we begin to like each other. And so I went over to her house to meet her parents. That was a long time ago, amen. But before I did, I began to ask her friend what her parents were like, more specifically what her dad was like, because any situation like this, the dad is your main concern. Amen. That's probably a good thing. Amen. And I hope that whoever, comes to meet me, I hope they get a description like this. Because here's what she said. She said this, "Well, he's really tall." Now you know where my son gets his height from, because it's obviously not me. "He used to be a cop." "Oh, well, that's used to be." "Well, now he's an investigator for the state attorney's office." "He has lots of guns. He wears guns. He was in the Marine Corps." You're not encouraging me here. What I'm trying to say to you is this, is that as she began to describe him, my mind was envisioning, basically Goliath from the Bible, very tall, but having a high and tight Marine Corps haircut, maybe a badge with some aviator sunglasses, and guns in each hand just waiting for me to ring the doorbell. It's basically what I'm thinking. But here's what I found out about my father-in-law. When I went in to meet him, that was the furthest thing from what my mind had created. In fact, he is, and I've always said this about my father-in-law. He preached here, I guess, a couple of years ago and just was a real blessing. He is one of the most Christ-like men I've ever known in my entire life. I mentioned this morning, given my testimony, he was the one that loved me and had grace and patience enough to show me as a 20-year-old young man out of the Scriptures how to be saved. He has never spoken a cross word to me in the 25 years that I've known him. And of course, he does have lots of guns and I've never given him an opportunity to do so. But at the same time, I've never seen him get upset until I took him and got him hooked on the game of golf. Because that'll drive anybody crazy right there. What I'm trying to say to you tonight is this. How I viewed him was not consistent with his character. And listen, what I'm trying to get across to you tonight is this, is that we can make the same mistake with our God. And such is the case of Israel in our text. Now, I underlined this in my notes because really this is the way that I see things tonight from this passage and even some things that have helped me in my spiritual life. But I want you to understand something tonight, and you can write this down for what it's worth. But there must be a biblical balance between two great truths in the Word of God. God is a consuming fire, but God is love. And the problem is this, is that Israel was out of balance with this. As already seen in their response to God speaking to them in verses 18 and 19, they did not want God speaking anymore, lest they die. Notice right here it says this, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, 'Speak thou with us,
and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And so that's what they're saying. But notice the rebuke of Moses in verse number 21, or verse number 20, it says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear not." And then he goes on to say this, "For God is come to prove you, and that," notice this, "His fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not." And so notice, now watch this, Moses says this, "Fear not." But then he goes on to tell them that God spoke to them in the thunderings and in the lightnings and in the trumpets and in the smoke on Mount Sinai to prove them, so that they might have His fear and fear Him and obey Him. Does that make sense? That's what he says right there. Now I'm just telling you, now watch this. So Moses says this. Now come on, you got to grab hold of this tonight. Now come on. He says, "Fear not." But then he says, "God's doing all this so that you can fear Him." Well, I just thought you said fear not. Now watch this. Now come on, watch this tonight. Watch this. Now I'm telling you, watch this, because this is what I want you to grab a hold of. See, though this sounds contradictory, we must understand tonight something right here. The word for fear in verse number 20 in the command to fear not, it is different than his fear that we are to have in sin not that's later on in the verse. It's two different Hebrew words. The first fear means this, to be frightened, as in scared to death. But the second fear means this, to have reverence for, as in reverence and respect for God. And this is his fear that they were to have and not the other fears. Anybody get what I'm saying to you tonight? I don't know if you guys had lunch like we did and didn't get a nap, but I'm just telling you, listen, the point is this, is that Israel was out of balance with the way God revealed himself as a consuming fire. I want you to catch this. They had fear, but it was an unhealthy fear. They had a fear that was rooted in unbelief. And what I mean by that is this, is that they failed to take God at His word in His proposal to them back in Exodus chapter 19. I want you to go back there for a minute and look at verses 5 and 6, okay? Just give me a minute to lay this out, because I want you to see this. He says in verse 5, he says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Now, does that sound like a God that wants you to be so scared of Him that you don't want to hear His voice? And then he goes on down and says this, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Won't you listen to this tonight? Why would God destroy His peculiar treasure just by speaking unto them? That's not, you understand, that's not His intention. That's not at all what He wanted to do. And listen, and I realize as you keep reading down in verse number 8, they would agree and say this, that all that God says to do, we will do. But we also know this, they were still in unbelief. Come on, remember, this is the generation that is not going to enter into the promised land because of their unbelief. And they are going to have to wander in the desert for 40 years until this generation dies off. And so what I'm saying to you tonight is this, is that though they would give lip service in verse number 8 of Exodus chapter 19, the reality is this, they were in unbelief. And when they saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the smoke and heard the trumpets and the voice of God, they were frightened, not with a reverential fear for God, but with an ungodly fear, and they were scared to death. And thinking, God's going to kill us. We don't want to hear Him talk anymore. And what I'm saying to you tonight is this, that's an ungodly fear, not a reverential fear, and that's not what God desires, because that is not a right view of Him. Let me give you an example of what I mean. I love my dad. But
but I fear my dad. Mercy, man. Y'all, I don't know. Y'all were here this morning. What happened? But I want you to understand something tonight. It's not a scared to death fear to the point that I want to avoid him or not hear his voice or think that I'm going to die when I'm around him. Does that make sense? Though there were a few times where I was getting a whooping and thought I was going to die. All right, that's not when I get around my dad. That's not the type of fear that I have. Rather, it's a reverential fear. In other words, a reverence and respect of his position and his place in my life, the authority that God has given him as my father. And by the way, even as a child, when I was under his rearing, I had a fear for the consequences when I disobeyed him because of that God-given authority that he had in my life. Yet I still wanted and still do want to be in the presence of my dad. I love to talk with my dad, love to spend time with my dad, especially when it's fishing. And even love to hug my dad when I see him. What I'm trying to say to you tonight is this: there's a reason why God is our Heavenly Father. It's because this is the type of view that we should have of him, one that's often consistent with our earthly fathers, a reverent fear because he is a consuming fire, but also a love because he is a providing father who is love in and of himself. I want you to hold your place there in Exodus chapter 20. And I want you to go with me to Deuteronomy in chapter number 5 tonight. Deuteronomy in chapter number 5. Ooh, I got too far in my Bible. Hang on just a second. Deuteronomy chapter number 5. I was all the way in the Kings and the Prophets. Slow down. Look at this. Look at verse number 22. And I want us to just kind of hang in here, because if you'll read the previous verses, it's a rehearsal of the Ten Commandments. And look at what it says in verse 22. It says, "These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount of the midst of fire, of the thick cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone, and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and ye said, Behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. And we have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more than we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire? As we have and live, go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when ye spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." Now, if you're following along in your Bible reading, then you came across this passage as I did a few weeks ago, and I felt like that I should just touch on this, especially because it points out that God said this: they have well spoken. This is a rehearsal of what you and I are looking at in Exodus chapter number 21. In other words, it was good for them to fear God. But again, the fear referred to here is a reverential fear and not an overly frightened fear. Now watch this. Go to what God says next in the next chapter here in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, because here's what God's going to do. He's going to bring things into balance. And look at what he says in verse number 2. He says that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes
and his commandments, which I command thou, and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Good instruction right there. Amen. But look at what he says in verse number 5. He says this, and thou shalt love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Can I say to you what God's doing right here is this, bringing balance in? Is anybody catching this tonight? Yes, we are to fear God tonight. We are to humble ourselves and obey God and come to Him His way. But however, you understand tonight, He still desires that we would come to Him, not run from Him and not want to hear His voice like Israel did in Exodus in chapter number 20. You're there in Deuteronomy. Just go back a little bit to Exodus chapter number 33. Exodus chapter number 33. I've actually preached on the life of Joshua, and this is one of my favorite scenes of Moses and Joshua here. Look at verse number 10 of Exodus chapter number 33. It says this, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. What a great thought, amen. And then it goes on and says this, and he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now, I love the picture right here. God would talk with Moses face to face as a man talks to his friend. And here is Joshua not wanting to depart out of the tabernacle because he wanted to be in the very presence of God and drawing nigh unto Him. And what I'm trying to get across to you tonight, and the reason I wanted you to go there is this, is because, listen, that rather than having the view that Israel had after the commandments in Exodus chapter 20, we ought to have the view of Joshua right here after he saw God talk with Moses face to face. God, that's what I want. I want to draw nigh to you. I want to hear your voice. I want you to talk with me like you did Moses. I want to be a friend to God. I want to walk with God. I want to have fellowship with God. Does anybody get what I'm saying to you tonight? And that, listen, That's a biblical view. That's a right view of God. Not to be so scared that we're running away from God. But yes, we understand He's a consuming fire, but praise God, He is love. Now watch this. Consuming fire and love. And Israel is out of balance with a consuming fire. Now let's flip it. Because this is the generation that we're living in today.
That's right.
Where there's an overemphasis on the love of God, and there's no consideration for the fact that God is still a consuming fire. Is anybody getting this? No. That's not to say that we shouldn't hear that God is love. We need to hear that God is love. We need to understand that. But what I'm saying to you tonight is this, is that never to consider the biblical truth that God is a consuming fire is to also have things out of balance. Listen to me tonight. You go to Hebrews, and that's where you get the verse, God is a consuming fire. That's in the New Testament. The God of the Old Testament is still the God in the New Testament, my friend. He has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm saying to you tonight that if He's the consuming fire in Exodus 20, then He's still the consuming fire in 2021.
Right.
And we got things, listen, we got things out of balance. I want to give you some things here, and I want you to think about this, where an overemphasis of a consuming fire brings an unhealthy fear. An overemphasis of love leads to abuse. The grace of God becomes lascivious, I can't even pronounce the word. Anyways, I need a Reese's peanut butter cup. Somebody hit me. Lasciviousness, licentious, whatever. A license to live sinfully. There, I feel better now. Well, listen, And we begin to think that these things are acceptable before God. The office and place of Christ is lowered in our life. The Lord Jesus is not our friend, but rather He becomes the man upstairs. I remember seeing a young lady one time with a t-shirt that said, "Jesus is my homeboy." I'm going to tell you something tonight. Stuff like that is irreverent. It is blasphemous to the character of our God. And we must be careful of this as well in our lives. Many are already in confusion, and here's why. Because they've done these things, they have taken advantage of the love of God, not considering that He is also a consuming fire, and then they are shocked by the consequences of sin and the chastening hand of God that begins to engage itself. Listen to me tonight. What did you expect? He is the Heavenly Father. And I'm going to tell you something. When His children get out of bounds with Him, then my friend, He will step in and get us back to where we need to be. He desires that His children would both have reverence for Him and be obedient to Him, and not to take something like their salvation and use it for a license to do sin and evil. And so listen, I just wanted to lay that out to you tonight and get you to understand the balance here and the view here of God, that yes, He is a consuming fire, and yes, He is love, and those things need to be kept in balance. And so, as you and I consider this tonight, to have a right view of God, I want to point out just a couple of things from our text tonight with Israel. So go back to Exodus chapter number 20, and let me give you two things, and I'm done tonight. Number one tonight, I want to give you the dangers of a wrong view. And this is the primary point of the text. And it's from the example here of Israel, we see two clear things that take place. Number one is this: when you have a wrong view of God, it's going to lead to distance in your relationship with God. Look at verse number 18. It says, "And all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it," watch this, "they removed and stood afar off." Now you understand, though, I realized that God had His boundaries at the foot of Mount Sinai so that they wouldn't cross that. And listen, in the holiness of God, in the glory of God would consume them in their sinful state. But at the same time, it wasn't God's intention that they would see all of that and then just move even further away from where they were. But that's the idea of our text. And then notice in verse number 19, it says this: "And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. And let not God speak with us, lest we die." And so now they're demanding that Moses speak with them and not God. What I'm saying to you tonight is that both of these imply distance, more distance, between them and God. And the same thing can happen to us when we have a wrong view of our God. Please get this tonight. Listen, God's people need fellowship with God. You need that tonight, whether you think that or not. I'm just telling you, you do. I need fellowship with God. Listen, we need a closeness with God in prayer. In my spiritual life, I do. I desire to sense God's presence, His grace. I want to be filled with God. I want to be used with God. I think about this morning and standing before all these people and being nervous and fearful of, and not because of them, but because I'm handling the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You need the grace and the power and the presence of God in your life to do those things and to have His boldness within you. And you definitely need to hear from God. And please get this tonight. I'm not saying that these are just things that I need in my life. These are things that you need in your life too. Because I'm not the only one that battles spiritual warfare. And I'm not the only one that has discouragement from time to time. And I'm not the only one that goes through difficulties and those kind of things. I'm telling you tonight, you do as well. And these are the things that help us to go through all of those things and to stay faithful. And listen, it's good to be in church. And it's good to hear the man of God give the Word of God. But there needs to be some times where we're in the Word of God ourselves and we're hearing God speak. I'm telling you, friend, listen, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it when I'm sitting in my in my recliner in my living room, and I've got a cup of coffee, and I'm reading through a passage in my Bible, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost of God says, "That's you, big boy." And most of the time I'm in trouble. But I still like it when He speaks. Because listen, that's just so comforting to me. I get right with Him. Boy, I'm telling you, listen, it'll just help your soul.
That's right.
Listen, that's not just something I need. That's something you need as well.
Right.
But you know what I found today is that we're having less and less of those moments. And I believe one of the biggest reasons why is this, because we've got a wrong view of our God. You know, maybe it is one tonight that's like Israel and you're struggling with the truth that, hey, He is a consuming fire. I don't even know if you realize this or not, but, we'll get to the other one because I think that's where a lot of folks are at, but I do know this, that sometimes that people are here and they're struggling with this, that God is a consuming fire and He's so holy and He's unapproachable. I've even seen this be the hindrance to people being saved. Some of you have heard me tell the story about a lady in Cassville that when I was pastoring there and she heard me preach the gospel and she finally came forward and called on the Lord and got saved. And she said this later on. She said, "Preacher, I didn't think I could get saved because I had cursed God when I was a little girl. And somebody said this, that if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, then you can't be saved." And really, that's a misinterpretation of that passage. That God, the Lord Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees and the conviction that they had on their souls, and they were rejecting Christ as the Savior. And what the Lord is saying is this, is that if you reject that and you blaspheme the Spirit of God dealing with you and drawing you in your need to be saved, then my friend, you can't be forgiven. That means this, you're going to die in your sin and you're going to answer for that. There's no second chances after this. And she failed to understand that. But once she began to hear the gospel and how that God can save to the uttermost, and it doesn't matter what your sin is or what you've done, God can forgive you. I'm telling you, she came forward that morning and called upon the Lord and got saved, and praise God, because today she's in heaven.
Amen.
But I think about stuff like that, and I wonder how many people are sitting in our pews and they're thinking, "Man, well, you preacher, you don't understand. I've done this and I've done that." And no matter what you say, that's not going to... And I'm just telling you tonight, the devil is using that and the guilt to keep them in bondage to their own sin. And they don't understand that the blood of Jesus Christ is powerful enough to cleanse them of that sin. And if they will come to God, listen to me, though He is a consuming fire, He is also love. And He will receive them and forgive them and wash them whiter than snow and make them His child.
It doesn't
matter. And one of my favorite testimonies is the Apostle Paul. I mean, you think this is a guy that persecuted the church. This is a guy that gave testimony to have people put to death for the cause of Jesus Christ. And listen to me tonight. And God would turn his life upside down and save him and use him. And listen to me. If God can save him and use him, then God can save you and me.
That's right. Amen.
But even us tonight as children of God. We get things so out of balance and we don't understand these things. Sometimes it's a person that's wayward. And they're not where they need to be with God. And then they think things like this, God's not going to forgive me and God's not going to restore me. And the distance that they have with God already in their life just continues to increase and increase and increase, so much to the point that they removed themselves and stood afar off. Well, what I'm saying to you tonight is this, you got things out of balance. Yeah, He's a consuming fire and that's not where you need to be, but He is love, and if you'll come to Him, He'll restore you.
Amen.
I'm telling you, one of my favorite passages in the Scriptures, and I think it will be until I die, but it has been one that has helped to transform my view and understanding of God, is the parable that the Lord Jesus gives in Luke chapter 15. It's three stories, but it's one parable. And you have the story of the lost sheep, And the good shepherd leaves the 99 and goes and finds the one lost sheep and brings him back and says, let's rejoice. And then he says this, that such as it is in heaven when one sinner repenteth, there is joy in heaven. Son, I didn't even think about it till just now. But I mean, listen, there was a couple of young people that called on the Lord this morning, and they were up there shouting. Amen. And we're back here tonight going, I didn't get my nap, and I didn't take my nap. Yeah, preacher sounds like 150 years in the service. Yeah, I think we need to start acting a little more like heaven.
Amen.
Then he talks about the story. I'll keep wanting to call them parable, but it's really all one parable, but it's the story of the lost coin. And the woman that lost it, and then she just swept and cleaned and done everything she could till she found that coin. And when she found it, she called everybody over and said, hey, come here, I want you to celebrate with me. And they said, hey, listen, such as it is in heaven, there's joy. The angels rejoice when one sinner repents. But then he goes into this story about a prodigal son. What an incredible story. I mean, it's one where this kid just basically spits in his father's face because he says, I want my inheritance right now. And you begin to see as the story goes on what his intention was, because immediately when he receives his inheritance, he goes off into the far country to blow it. And he blows it on riotous living and harlots and all of the wickedness and sin of this world. I'm just telling you, listen, the Lord Jesus is painting a very clear picture that this is a son that is in clear rebellion to God and the authorities that God has placed in his life. And then, you know, the grace and the chastening of God begins to engage itself. And I mean, he's feeding the pigs and dealing with animals that are considered to be unclean by the Jewish people. Praise God, not Gentiles. Because I had ham for lunch. And then there begins to be this famine in the land. And he's so hungry that he's willing to eat the hog slop. And I love that the Bible says this, and he came to himself. And you know what he started thinking? He started thinking this, that even the servants that worked under my father got it better than this. I'm going to go back and I'm going to ask for my father's forgiveness, and I just want to be a servant. And I love the story, because here's the deal, that when the son begins to show up, the father sees him afar off, and the father doesn't go, pfft. The father begins to run to him. And the father hugs him and embraces him and kisses him. And some have even said this, that this was the father's way of protecting him, because this was a son that was in rebellion and should have been stoned. And the father was running and grabbing him and saying, this is my son and I love him. And you understand, and even though the son was willing to be a servant, that's not what the father restored him to. He put a robe on him and shoes on his feet and a ring on his finger and said, this is my son. And you go back and you look at that, and in verses 1 and 2 it gives you the text. It gives you the context. Because here's what it says. That the Lord Jesus is sitting at a table with publicans and sinners. And then in verse number 2 it talks about how the Pharisees would mock him that... he eateth with publicans and sinners. Sure glad he spends time with publicans and sinners.
Amen.
And the whole moral of that parable is this. Listen to me. That in the eyes of God, you are of great value.
Amen.
And he's willing to go as far as it takes to bring you back to him. And when you come to him, listen to me, he will love you. He will forgive you. He will restore you. I've seen too many wayward people just go, well, I can't, you know, God's not going to. You don't understand the love of God. You got a wrong biblical view. You got a wrong view of our God. And you need to get one that lines up with the Word of God. Now, let me help you with something else.
Because sometimes it's not that. In fact, I think more often than not, I think it's much like the generation today that's out of balance with His love. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. When you begin to abuse that and you begin to live in worldliness and carnality, well, the same distance that can happen over the other wrong view can happen right here with fellowship with God. And you need to know tonight, you and I don't fellowship with God on our terms. We fellowship with God on His terms. And we must consider tonight that He is a consuming fire, that He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And it's not until we humble ourselves and repent of some things and confess some things that we can be restored to right fellowship with Him. I want you to take your Bibles tonight and go with me to the book of 1 John just very quickly. And I want you to notice in verse number 5 of 1 John chapter 1. Now John in the previous verses begins to talk about how he was with the Lord, he handled the word of life, all of these things. But then he says this in verse number 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him," speaking of Jesus Christ, "and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Now, I know I've preached on this on several occasions, but you understand that John gives a very basic principle in verse number 5 that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, and that speaks to the holiness of God. But then he begins to show a picture of someone that is claiming to have fellowship with God who is in the light, but yet they walk in darkness. And John says this, "You're lying. Because God is light and you're in darkness. You're not having fellowship with God." And what I'm trying to get across to you is this, is that when someone is in this area right here, but yet claiming to be in this area right here and having fellowship with God, that is an abuse of the love of God. So John begins to go down and lay some things out. He says this in verse number 7. He says this, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light," watch this, "we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin." And so what John's saying is this, is that you can be in the light as God is in the light through the blood of Jesus Christ and then have fellowship with God. But the only way, my friend, you're going to have fellowship with God is that if you get a right view of God, and not only do you understand that He is love, but you also understand that He is a consuming fire, and you stop taking advantage of the love of God and get right with God and start getting in the light as God is in the light.
Amen.
Well, how do you do that? Well, what does he say in verse number 9? He says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness." Anybody getting this tonight? I'm just telling you, my friend, you get things out of whack, you get things out of a biblical balance, then what I'm saying to you tonight is this, you're going to have a distant relationship with God, but you don't have to tonight. You can understand He is love and He is a consuming fire. And we can humble ourselves and come to Him and praise God, He will in no wise cast us out. But go back to Exodus chapter 20 and let me give you another thing tonight just very quickly. We're almost through. Believe it or not, we're almost through. Look at Exodus chapter number 20 very quickly again. Because look at what happens. In verse number 21 it says, "And the people stood afar off and Moses drew near in the thick darkness where God was." But then look at what God begins to say to Moses in verse number 22. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold." And then he begins to go ahead and lay out the altar and how they are to make sacrifices unto him. Now I want you to watch this. I believe this. I believe when you get things out of balance and you get an unbiblical view of God, it leads to idolatry.
You see, after hearing the response of Israel, God, for God not to talk with them anymore, why do you think that God immediately deals with idolatry and proper worship to Him? It's because as they will get distant from God, they are prone to create their own God to worship. And by the way, that's exactly what's going to happen. When Moses goes up on the mount for 40 days, they'll come to Aaron and they'll say, "Make us a God." And Aaron says, "Give me all your earrings and necklaces and bracelets and all that." And then he throws them into a fire. And according to Aaron, a golden calf just hops right out. That's amazing. But here's the point. We do the same things when we get a wrong view of God. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen to me. An unapproachable God is not the God of the Bible. Yes, He is high and holy and lifted up. He is a consuming fire. But He has made a way for man to approach Him. And it's through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Through Him, we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But on the other hand, a God that is okay with your sin is not the God of the Bible. And I fear that this is the great danger of this generation. They have a false view of the God of the Bible. And the reality is they have created a fictitious God of their own imagination. And it's what they want, but it's far different than the character of our God in the Bible. And so I'm saying to you tonight this, be very, very careful that you don't get a wrong view of God, because it leads to distance from Him. It leads to idolatry. And I'm going to, listen, that's not a good place to be. And so the question becomes tonight, well, preacher, how do we get a right view of God? And that's where the direction comes in. And it's not really in our text tonight, but I want you to think about this. Thus far, since the creation of man, God has revealed Himself to men like Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, even Joseph, and now Moses and Israel. This has always been through things like dreams and visions and personal meetings. But following the scene at Mount Sinai, God's going to do something extraordinary. He's going to give Moses the law. The written word of God. And the point is this, is that now God has now given man this special revelation. Goes beyond just creation. It is where we find what God requires of us as His people, but it is also where God has revealed who He is to all of mankind. And so what I'm saying to you tonight is this, is that this is how you develop a right view of God. You get in this book. You remember the illustration that I gave earlier, my father-in-law? You want to know how I developed a false view of Him? It's because I based it on what someone else said about Him rather than Him Himself. It's the same way with God, my friend. It's not enough to hear it. It's not enough to read what others say about it. Well, you know, I saw this on Facebook. Let me tell you something, friend. Facebook theology is not always Bible theology. Don't get me started on that. What I'm saying to you tonight is this, get in the book. And that's where you'll find a balance to who God is. Yes, the heavens are His throne, and the earth is His footstool. But yet at the same time, David said this, no matter my down-sitting or my uprising, God is there. Yes, God is very aware of the big issues of this world. He is angry with the wicked every day. Yet the Lord Jesus also made it very clear that the hairs upon our very heads are numbered. I'll tell you something tonight, God knows you better than you know you. Good for us tonight to understand some of these things. Listen to me, I could sit here all night and go through the attributes and the character of God all throughout the Scriptures, but more than anything tonight, what I'm saying to you is this, is that base how you view God on this book. Amen. And you'll never go wrong. You'll never go wrong. Not the internet. Not false religion. But the Word of God.
Let me ask you something tonight. How's your view of God? How is your view of God? Father, thank you for the Word of God tonight. Lord, thankful tonight.